Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So we all know 2024 is a big election year, but in Chicago, it's not just the next president that we're going to be voting for in November.
Chicago Public Schools has never had an elected school board. This will be the very first in the history that anybody can remember.
This is Sarah Karp. She's an education reporter at WBEZ. And she and our colleague at the Chicago Sun-Times, Nader Issa, have been keeping tabs on this. Sarah says that for decades, the school board has mostly answered to the mayor. But in recent years, Chicagoans have been pushing for an elected school board.
You know, about 10 years ago, the mayor closed 50 public schools. And a lot of people felt like the community really had no say over what was going on. And the school board was very unresponsive.
With this elected school board, all that is about to change.
Finally, the people of Chicago will be able to get somebody on the board who will represent their interests.
So in November, we're going to elect 10 people to the board. 11 more are going to still be appointed by the mayor, including the board president, until 2026. During that election, we'll be able to elect all 21 board members. Some folks are already telling the public that they're going to run, including at least one celebrity. We're going to talk about that a little later. But first, it's worth noting that the school board right now is only 7 people, not 21. So basically, it's going to triple in size after the November election. Of course, we had to start there because clearly that's going to shake things up, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who think that this is insane. it might be. But the main reason why people came to the conclusion that this was the way to do it is that they wanted to draw voting districts that were manageable. They thought that if there was only 7 members or even 9 members, that the city would have to be divided into such large amounts of space that if you wanted to run, you'd have to have a lot of money. And they wanted to make it feasible for people to run and not, you know, have a huge amount of money and not have to cover like a huge territory. So that's where they came up with the 21 members.
Okay. And also, these folks, this is a volunteer service, a volunteer role that people would be elected into. So it makes sense that you wouldn't want to give them such large ground to cover.
Right. And that's also a very controversial thing. A lot of people really, really believe that this should be compensated. I mean, a school board member in the city of Chicago right now spends at least 2 full days in meetings a month. Plus, they're expected to have office hours. Plus, all the other things that they, you know, might be asked to attend. It's a big time, you know, suck. Really, it is. And, you know, the concern is that the only people who will be able to run are either people who are retired or people who have jobs that would give them, you know, some flexibility. So, you know, maybe it's also somebody who works for a place that sees it as beneficial for the person to be on the school board. Uh-huh. And maybe that's, you know, not the exact person that we want. But for the normal mom or dad or concerned citizen who, you know, just is really passionate about the education in their community, if they're just working a regular job, this just might not be feasible.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the other things that candidates need to think about when they're entering the running. Like, what are the requirements?
So this is also controversial. Everything's controversial. But I guess we're going into something so new. So,
you
know, there's a lot of discussion as to which way to do it. But they need to collect 1,000 signatures, which is a lot to get on the ballot.
Given there's going to be fake signatures, there's going to be...
Right, so you almost need 3 times that amount, which is a lot of signatures. And, you know, to give you some context, that's almost double what you need to collect to be an alderman in the city.
Really?
Yes, okay. So it's a lot. And I think that some people were concerned. They want to make sure that you know, the person who's running is really committed and really, you know, that we don't make it easy to get on the ballot. Mm. But on the other hand, did they make it so hard that it's going to be a big obstacle to getting people on the ballot? So I guess we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
One thing to note is that you can't run if you're undocumented,
okay.
Which was also something that people, you know, really wanted to change, because you can run, for example, for local school council if you're undocumented. But in this case, you know, despite a lot of push for that, it couldn't happen. And one of the reasons that I was told that they couldn't do it was that the elections are simultaneous to the federal elections. So you can vote for Biden and or Trump at the same time you can vote for your school board member. And that when there's a federal election going on, it would be too difficult to have undocumented people vote, undocumented people run in a in the context of like where there's a federal election. And so
interesting.
The issue is that there is a big percentage of Chicago public school students that are undocumented, and then, you know, or their parents are undocumented, and it's growing. I mean, we've had this an influx of migrants, you know, like 7,000 this year, just this year. So, you know, definitely there is going to be a big constituency that's not going to be represented. And that's troublesome, because, you know, one of the things that people are also very concerned about is that the school district is about 75% Black and Latino, but the city is not. The city is about a third, right? And there's a lot of fear that the school board is going to be more representative of the city than of the students in the schools.
You talked about the local school councils. How do they interact with the school board?
Right now, they don't really interact on a normal basis. I mean, sometimes you will see local school council members raise a fuss about something and bring it to the school board.
Okay.
You'll see local school council members come to school board meetings and advocate on behalf of their school. But there's not really a formal relationship. Maybe that will change because, you know, maybe the candidates will form relationships with local school councils, you know, in order to get them elected, you know, because these are people who you think will have a lot of interest in schools. And so I also think it's going to be interesting to see how many local school council members run, because, I mean, they have that experience. So there might be a fair number of them.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of people running, I know that you talked to some of the folks who are intending to do that during this election. In the 10th district, that one is one of the few where there are two potential candidates so far. Adam Parrott Sheffer, who is a former CPS principal, and Shay Smith, who we all know as writer and rapper Rhymefest. Tell me about Adam first. Who is he and what are some of his priorities?
So I actually met him way back in the day when he was a principal of a Northside school.
Okay.
And so he's running. He lives now in Hyde Park, and his kids go to local schools in that area. And he's now transitioned from, you know, being a principal in CPS to working for a consultant program out of Harvard School of Education.
I come to this race really thinking about, you know, what does it mean to support principals and teachers in classrooms?
And he works to help schools improve. And he said that, you know, he really thought that he could bring his expertise. So he was one of the first people to file his paperwork.
Okay. And for the record, the 10th district includes Woodlawn, Bronzeville, Hyde Park, a few other areas.
South Shore. The way down to South Chicago, to the edge of the city. So it's a long district.
Okay. And then we have Shay Rhymefest Smith. Tell me about how you found out that he was running and kind of what he's focused on.
So he filed paperwork about 2 weeks ago. So we kind of had an inkling that he was running. But then last week he had a big old press conference in the Silver Room in Hyde Park, which is this really cool store in Hyde Park. And, you know, it was with all the bling it had. It started with him rapping, and he had a gospel singer, and so that was really cool.
Nice.
And then he sort of laid out his platform, and then he took questions from people, and there were really some great questions, very engaging questions about, you know, things like, would you close schools? You know, how are you going to get after-school programs in the community? So really, really kind of an interesting discussion that showed that people were very interested. You know, his platform is he believes that this is a moment for the communities to sort of take the reins of the schools.
Your neighborhood school is the pillar of that community. And when we're talking about the South Side, we're not only talking about students. We're saying 30 to 40,000 people on the South Side either work in CPS or have worked at CPS.
He also talked a lot about the youth voice and that he wants to form a youth committee that will help him make decisions as a school board member, which I thought was very interesting because, you know, there are young people out there who have really great ideas about how to improve schools. And it's always been a challenge getting their voices incorporated in school district governance. And so it'll be very interesting to see if he gets elected, like how he uses that youth voice.
Yeah. So I know fundraising is a big part of this, which is making people wonder what kind of money is going to end up flowing into these races. Can you talk about that?
Sure. And it's a big deal because there have been other examples. One of the things we always hear about Los Angeles is with their school board races, they are big money affairs with a lot of outside people coming in and trying to make their, you know, trying to use the school board elections as a way to get their political points across. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of speculation as to whether that's going to happen here. And we are starting to see some outside groups giving not huge amounts of money at this point. I mean, remember, we're not even at the place where people are submitting their petitions yet. So that won't happen until June 24th. So we're still like, you know, a few months away.
Mm-hmm.
So... but we are seeing some groups come in, so it'll be interesting to see how it kind of rolls.
Yeah. People are already gathering signatures, already raising money, but this is a new office. It's a new process. It's not necessarily straightforward. Can you talk about how the Board of Education is communicating about how to run?
So they have a link on their webpage. If you go to cpsboe.org, you can see there's a link, and then they kind of lay out some of the processes. I still think it's a pretty complicated process,
okay,
and that it's just like one page that sort of says, hey, you need to get signatures. It links to the Board of Elections. You know, there's different people that have put out maps because, you know, one thing is people are still trying to figure out, like, what is my district? Like, where do I represent? What are the parameters?
What are the new parameters?
Right,
yeah.
Right. And, you know, I at the Board of Elections, the Chicago Board of Elections, they have a map, but it's a little hard to even tell because you can click on your district and then you'll have to find your think of your address. So far, I've not seen anybody do an address lookup map. I think we're working on one and hopefully we can get that up soon. But remember that just last month, this map was approved. So we're all sort of scrambling to get things up so that people can really understand.
Yeah. Okay. There are some organizations who are looking to educate people and kind of intervene with this whole process. Tell me about the program at National Lewis University.
So they started something called a pre-candidate fellowship. And basically the idea is that every week they're going to hold a seminar for a group of people, and they've announced the group of people, and they have a fairly large, diverse group of people who are sitting in on, you know, budget presentations. They're learning about the school district. And
yeah,
the idea is like that way that if these people could get elected, they will walk in with some knowledge, because there's a lot of concern from people that you're going to get people elected who are going to walk in and sit down on day one and have a whole different idea of what their job is,
mm-hmm,
from what their job actually is.
Wow.
And so I think their idea is to try to prevent that.
Well, so the election is going to be definitely overshadowed, as you talked about earlier, by the presidential election. What are you watching out for in these next 6 months for this little corner that's going to be on the ballot?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that nationally the issues will be overshadowed, but I do think that when it comes down to it, people really care deeply about the schools in their community. And it's not just the people who have kids going to school who do care deeply, but people who live in the city. They see, you know, they see schools as if we have a set of school, if our schools are bad, that hurts our city, mm-hmm. right? If our schools are struggling, that hurts our city. And I do think that people will get engaged in this. And I do think there'll be some excitement. I worry that over time, you know, that what has happened to like the judges contest, where there's just so many judges on there and nobody really knows who's who. And people just, you know, sort of choose based on who, you know, like the name that they like.
Yeah.
I do kind of worry that this could become a little bit like that. But I think especially for this first election and maybe for, you know, a few elections, you know, there's excitement around this. I think also there's a lot of questions about what's going to happen when they actually start governing. I mean, you know, at school board meetings, typically you'll have every school board member give their 2 cents about controversial uh-huh. issues. If we got 21 verbose people, we're going to be there till like 5 a.m. I mean, already these board meetings last to like from like 10:30 to 5, you know, sometimes the big ones. So, but anyways, I do think just the idea of governing with 21 people is going to be super interesting.
Sarah Karp is an education reporter here at WBEZ. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
Nader Issa from the Chicago Sun-Times is also reporting on this. You can read more of Sarah and Nader's reporting at WBEZ.org. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown, and to Ariel Van Clee for editing the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Thanks also to Haley Bloomquist for her engineering support. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening to The Rundown. I'll talk to you tomorrow.